Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Book picks, as we do each and every Tuesday, and we are pleased to welcome Connie Brooks to the program. She is of Baton Kill Books in Cambridge, New York, and is here to tell us what is cool and happening on the shelves in bookstores like hers, and it's wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Thank you.
Very nice to have you with us. So where shall we begin?
All right. Well, I've brought in a couple of novels. A book on current affairs, and a couple books for children. But I'm going to start with a book. This is a novel called Painted Horses by Malcolm Brooks. Painted Horses is a story set in the West in the mid-1950s. At a time when most of the United States was flush with prosperity and visions of progress in the future, the West was still very much untamed in many regards. Catherine LeBay is a young archaeologist hired by the Smithsonian to visit a remote canyon in Montana. Working ahead of a major dam project, she has one summer to prove nothing of historical value will be lost in the flood caused by the dam. From the moment she arrives, nothing is familiar, not the people nor the terrain. The harshness and remoteness of the canyon are beyond anything she could have imagined. And then there's John H., a former Mustanger and veteran of the U.S. Army's last mounted cavalry campaign, living a fugitive life in the canyon. John H. may be sympathetic to Catherine's quest, but there are others who most certainly are not and will have few scruples in dealing with the Eastern interloper. Painted Horses reminded me of another novel of the West and one of my favorites of all times, Angle of Repose by Wallace Stegner. Which is high praise indeed coming from me, since that's one of my favorite books. But I do believe that Painted Horses is worthy of the comparison.
It is Painted Horses by Malcolm Brooks. Next.
Next one. This is a thriller of sorts. This is a book that's just out. It's called Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. And there's no shortage of post-apocalyptic, post-pandemic novels these days, but Mandel's Station 11 is especially haunting. The book begins one snowy night at a performance of King Lear, when the lead, a famous actor, has a heart attack on stage and dies. An audience member and EMT in training, Jeevan Chaudhary, realizes that something is wrong and leaps to the actor's aid, though too late. A child actress named Kirsten Raymond watches in horror as Jeevan performs CPR, pumping the actor's chest as the curtain drops, to no avail. That same night, as Jeevan walks home from the theater, a terrible flu begins to spread. Hospitals are flooded, and Jeevan and his brother barricade themselves inside an apartment, watching out the window as cars clog the highways, gunshots ring out, and life disintegrates around them. Mandel's story doesn't dwell in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic, however. We travel forward in time 15 years to find Kirsten, now an actress with the Traveling Symphony, a group that risks life and limb to bring Shakespeare and music to scattered communities of survivors. But when they arrive in St. Deborah-by-the-Water, they encounter a violent prophet who digs graves for anyone who dares to leave his settlement. This is a remarkable story, and though it may sound dark, great moments of beauty weave their way through the tale, which has much to say about fate, fame, art, and memory.
Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel.
Staying with one more novel, this is The King's Curse, which is the new book by Philippa Gregory. And here is the story of Lady-in-Waiting Margaret Pole and her unique view of Henry VIII's rise to power in Tudor England. Regarded as one of the many threats to King Henry VII's claim to the throne, Margaret Pole, cousin to Elizabeth of York and daughter of George, Duke of Clarence, is married off to a steady and kind Lancaster supporter, Sir Richard Pole. For his loyalty, Sir Richard is entrusted with the governorship of Wales, but Margaret's contented daily life is changed forever with the arrival of Arthur, the young Prince of Wales, and his beautiful bride, Catherine of Aragon. Margaret soon becomes a trusted advisor and friend to the honeymooning couple, hiding her own royal connections in service to the Tudors. After the sudden death of Prince Arthur, the newly widowed Catherine leaves for London and fulfills her deathbed promise to her husband by marrying his brother Henry VIII. Margaret's world is turned upside down by the surprising summons to court, where she becomes the chief lady-in-waiting to Queen Catherine. but I think we all know how this goes.
Yeah.
This charmed life.
Not a happy ending.
Doesn't last long with, of course, the rise of Anne Boleyn. Margaret has to choose whether her allegiance is to the king or to her beloved queen, to the religion she loves or the theology which serves the new masters. So caught between two worlds is Margaret Pole's story.
The King's Curse by Philippa Gregory.
And now I switch over to a book on very current events, and this is 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi. It's by Mitchell Zukov and the members of the Annex Security Team. It's probably one of the most talked about books in our shop right now. And just a brief note on the authors. Mitchell Zukov is the author of six previous nonfiction books, including the bestsellers Lost in Shangri-La and Frozen in Time. And the Annex Security Team consists of the five surviving CIA contract operators who responded to the September 11th, 2012 attack in Benghazi. 13 Hours presents an account of the events of that night, when terrorists attacked the U.S. State Department's Special Mission Compound and a nearby CIA station called the Annex in Benghazi, Libya. This is the notorious attack in which Ambassador Chris Stevens and several other Americans were killed. Many more would have died that night if it weren't for the efforts of six American security operators, all who had served previously in the military, who fought to repel the attackers and protect the Americans stationed there. 13 Hours is a harrowing account of the heroism and tragedy of that day and brings to light much of what happened during an event that has been shrouded in mystery and controversy. The terrorist attack in Libya has had a profoundly polarizing effect politically, but despite that, 13 Hours has been praised for its nonpartisan accounting of the events of that night and the following morning. And what can't be argued is that these men were there, on the ground, and their account enriches the public record and our understanding of the events that transpired in Libya in 2012.
And that's 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi by Mitchell Zukov.
Then I really switch gears to two books for children, and I was writing up my notes and thinking, well, that's exactly what we do as booksellers. A person walks in and they need the account of Benghazi, and the next person in the door needs a book of fantasy for children. So we switch gears all day long. This is Egg and Spoon by Gregory Maguire. And Maguire is best known as the author of Wicked, but here he delivers a dazzling fantasy novel for teens based on the Baba Yaga tales of the witch in Russian folklore. Elena Rudina lives in the impoverished Russian countryside. Her father has been dead for years. One of her brothers has been conscripted into the Tsar's army, the other taken as a servant in the house of the local landowner. Her mother is dying in their tiny cabin, and there is no food. But then a train arrives in the village, a train carrying untold wealth and a noble family destined to visit the Tsar in St. Petersburg. It's a family that includes Ekaterina, a girl of Elena's age. When the two girls' lives collide, an adventure is set in motion. An escapade that includes mistaken identity, a monk locked in a tower, a prince traveling incognito, and, of course, Baba Yaga in her ambulatory house perched on chicken legs. This is a marvelous, witty tale full of absurd and splendid moments told by a master storyteller.
Egg and Spoon by Gregory Maguire. We have about a minute left.
Okay, I'll work my last one in really quickly here. This is Animalium by Jenny Broom and illustrated by Katie Scott. This book is the first in a new series, which is going to be published by Big Picture Press. It's designed to mimic a visit to a natural history museum, but within the pages of the book. The illustrations look like vintage nature prints, but they're vividly colored. I think everybody's going to want this one for their science-loving kids and grandchildren, and you can say you heard about it on WAMC first.
Absolutely. It's Animalium.
Animalium. I struggled with
Animalium that. Animalium by Jenny Broom. It's illustrated by Katie Scott. And you have two cool events, one coming up very soon.
Yep. This Friday at 7 o'clock, we have author Michael Kovarik, who is going to talk about his memoir, Healing Within, My Journey with Breast Cancer. And Michael is a survivor of male breast cancer. And Tuesday, October 7th, we host John Katz for the launch of his newest book, Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. And that one's also at 7 o'clock.
Just got the book in the mail yesterday.
Oh,
it looks great.
Saving
Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. And John will be having his launch event at Battenkill Books on
the 7th of
October. For more information on Battenkill Books, you can go to their website, battenkillbooks.com, or visit them, 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York. Connie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your patience. this morning as we...
Always a pleasure to be down here.
Go from pillar to post. Thank yes. you. We post all of our segments, including book picks, online, wamc.org/roundtable. We'll be back after this.